Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, you're welcome back. John Giles is on the line. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So we'll get to what's been happening in the Champions League in just a while, but really we better start with Declan Rice. He's made the decision, he's decided he's going to transfer and try and force his way into the England reckoning. Are you upset? Are you surprised? Do you care? Where do you stand on it?
Well, I care. I would love him to have played for us, Nathan. I think he's a terrific player. But I would understand his position. He was only 19 when he played for us. And some of the stuff I read today, you know, it sounded like he was having us on.
Mm.
Now, I think the comments he made at the time were genuine. That's what he believed in. And he loved playing for Ireland. There's no doubt about that. But since then, he's become a better player. I think there are other influences, including his agent and the chairman at West Ham, which I think it's in their interest for him to play, I feel anyway, their interest for him to play for England. But first of all, I'd wish him all the best.
Right.
Nathan, you know, like he's a young fella. Mother and father, he's got everything to get the people to get the advice from, and they feel it's in his best interests to do what he's done. Now, we might not necessarily agree with that, but it's his decision, and he's entitled to make whatever decision he feels is best for himself.
The problem is, he's played three times at senior level for Ireland. He's kissed the badge, he's sang the anthem, he's spoken of his pride for playing for Ireland. People in the FAI, people in this country, have invested a lot of time in trying to make him a better player.
Well, he played three times for us.
Well, he played several times at underage level as well.
Sorry?
He played a lot at underage level.
But, you know, it's probably helped, no doubt, to make him a better player. But he's played more matches for West Ham than he has for anybody else. So, you know, I think he's a naturally gifted individual anyway. So I think we could take some credit for it, but it wouldn't be a major credit that I would take from that particular situation.
Both Gary Breen and Kevin Kilbane have been quite outspoken. They're extremely frustrated, I think, to put it mildly, at what's developed over the last while, feeling that really the Ireland jersey shouldn't be used as an audition for putting yourself forward for greater things. Do we need to change our policy towards young English-born players who are eligible because of this?
Well, first of all, I'll answer your first question. I don't think he used that as an audition for playing for England. I think when he played for us, he was genuine about it. England didn't come into the equation at that time. That came later on. So I think what he said at the time, it was genuine. You know, when you phrase it in a certain way, then it looks like he planned it. That definitely hasn't been the case. I think he's a good young fella. He meant what he said at that particular time, and I think it's that other influence have come into play since he first played for Ireland. But I think he was genuine about that. But the second thing, Nathan, I'd like to mention was, could Martin have qualified him for us in a competitive match?
Yeah. Now,
I think he should have done that.
O'Neill said at the time, I remember, this was a game against Moldova, was the one in particular he picked out during the end of the last qualification campaign. It was a game Ireland needed a result in. Declan Rice wasn't the established Premier League player that he is now. He felt it was kind of crazy to suggest that we would do that. And also that in a way you're sort of kidnapping the player. You're bringing him in and you're saying, tough luck, there's no getting out now.
Well, what do you think England are doing? You know, I mean, that's the rules of the game today, Nathan. If you've got a chance as international team manager, I think you're obliged to use that. And if that had been done, there would be no outcry now at the moment. If Southgate went for him, just find out, no, he's qualified the Republic of Ireland.
Mm.
End of story.
So that's
what I believe. It's a cutthroat business.
Yeah.
And I think it's an obligation to get as many players, best players in that you possibly can. I mean, Southgate has done it. You know, he knows he's played three times for Ireland. It doesn't stop him going nicking him.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the name of the game nowadays. You know, you don't get two chances at it because the rules are the rules. I think the rules are too loose. I think they should be tightened up again. But that's the way it is, and that's what you have to put up with. So in my opinion, if you've got a chance to qualify a player of promise, which he was a player of promise, he wasn't an established player, then I think you're obliged to do it.
So in a way, during this, we probably haven't been cynical enough that he's come in...
Well, I don't think it's even cynical. I mean, you do what's best for your in your particular situation for the country that you're managing in. You know, the rules are very loose nowadays, but obviously he was a very, very good player to be picked for us in the first place. And I think now, the way the rules are, any chance you have of getting a player, I don't think it's nicking him. I think if young Rice, at that time, qualified for us, there wouldn't be any talk about playing for England. He loved what he was doing at that particular time for us. It wasn't making him do something that he didn't want to do, Nathan, that he would regret it. I don't think that kid would have regretted. I think that the situation only came after he played for us, where Southgate obviously saw him as an outstanding player because he got into the West Ham team. And I don't blame Southgate. I would do the same thing myself. But if Southgate, as soon as he made inquiries, was told, no, this lad qualifies for Republic of Ireland, end of story.
The FAI have been very good at identifying young talent in England, second, third generation Irish, and bringing them over into underage levels. And we've seen what happened with Jack Grealish now. It's Declan Rice. Do you think they need to review that policy and focus more on promoting homegrown players who are guaranteed to turn out for the senior team? Or do you just need to keep taking your chances?
Well, you got to keep taking your chances. But when you get your chance, you've got to take it, Nathan. We had a chance with Rice. We had a chance to qualify him.
So,
and we didn't do it.
So 18 months ago, we should have...
case altogether. But you can't stop looking for outstanding players that qualify for us because these two incidents have happened. You've got to keep at it. You've got to keep going for the best. And hopefully that will turn out in your favour. You can't force it. You can't make them do it. But if it's there for the taking, then you've got to take it as quickly as you possibly can.
And if that means putting them on for a minute at the end of a competitive international,
yes,
so be it.
Yes. And he's qualified for it. And then there wouldn't have been any fuss. If he had qualified at that time for us, Rice, and he really enjoyed it, he enjoyed the three matches playing for us, that was the end of story.
Mm.
The only thing that happened after that is we didn't qualify him, so Southgate came into the picture. And other influences came into the picture. But if it happened at the time and Rice had qualified for us, he was as happy as Larry, that would have been it.
How big a blow do you think this is for what Mick McCarthy wants to do over the next 18 months and Stephen Kenny after that? How big a blow do you think the loss of a player, his talent, is going to be for Irish football?
I think he's a really, really outstanding player that will go on to be... I think he'll go on to be a great player, Nathan. And I think he'll go on to be a great player at international level. I wouldn't have any qualms of doing it. I'll just tell you a little story from years ago, my time when I was manager of the Irish team. We were playing Poland in a friendly match, and at that time you didn't get automatic release of players.
Right.
So we were really struggling for players. And I spoke to Alan Kelly, who was my assistant and worked at Preston. He says, we've got a young lad here, he's a very good lad. I think he'll do a good job for you. That was Mark Lawrenson, right? Now, obviously in those days, when he played for us, he qualified for us before anybody knew about him. But it didn't stop him from going on to be a great player at Liverpool and that.
Yeah.
And he never regretted it. As far as I know, he never regretted it, Nathan. So we took advantage of it at that time before anybody even knew him. But it was easier to do because it was a friendly match. But after that, he qualified for us. But I had no regrets about that. No guilty conscience because he would have gone on to play for England later on. But Mark didn't bother about it, wasn't he? He loved playing for us.
Mm. It feels as though this is such a huge story because at that time when you had the likes of Mark Lawrenson, you also had a Liam Brady, you had a Roddy Whelan coming through, you had a conveyor belt of players playing for the best clubs. Right now we don't. We don't have players playing Champions League football.
No, but, well, that's a different issue. But that, and, you know, we're talking about qualifying the players. Mm. In that time, Mark Lawrenson was an unknown, but I don't think he ever regretted it, and it didn't stop him becoming the top player in English football. That's all I'm saying. In young Rice's case, you know, I think I would have qualified him, and that's the end of the story. And I think he's going to be one of the great players, and he's going to be a huge loss to us. But as far as you're saying, not going after the English-based lads, I think that's not right. You have to keep going after them, and hopefully do a better job in getting them to play for us, or persuade them to play. Let's put it that way.
We'll get on to the Champions League and Spurs and Manchester United's performance after the break, but I did want to talk to you briefly just about Gordon Banks, who died sadly this week at the age of 81. I'd imagine you came up against him many times?
Yeah, loads of times, Nathan. Actually, I played against him when I played for Manchester United. We beat Leicester in the Cup, and Gordon was in goal for Leicester at that time. And over the years, I played against him when he was at Stoke. I met him a few times as well, and he was a smashing lad, and one of the great, definitely one of the great goalkeepers, Nathan.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember a game that you played against him here in Ireland.
Yeah.
When he played for St. Patrick's Athletic.
Yes.
For one match, and you were player manager of Shamrock Rovers at the time, and by all accounts, he made this what is sort of grown into mythical proportions ever since, an unbelievable save from Eamon Dunphy in the last couple of minutes.
They did. He did indeed. That was the time that he'd had an accident and lost one eye.
Mm.
And he was still terrific. And then later on, actually, I played against him in America. When I was playing for Philadelphia, he was playing for Fort Lauderdale. And he had a blinder that day as well. He played brilliantly. I know he's a great lad, and he was one of the greats.
The report from that match surfaced this week, that game between Pats and Rovers, which Pats won 1-0. A brilliant save by Gordon Banks, an own goal by Leo Kearns at Richmond Park combined to provide Johnny Giles with his first setback since he took over as player-manager of Shamrock Rovers. Rovers must be feeling pretty miserable. The bumpy state of the pitch made it virtually impossible for Giles and Dunphy to dictate the game in their normal manner.
Yeah, well, the pitches weren't great in those days, but St. Pat's ground certainly wasn't one of the best, Nathan. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. John, great stuff. Stick with us. We're going to talk Champions League next.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Arsenal have been beaten in the first leg of their Europa League round of 32 tie. They've lost 1-0 against Bate Borisov. They also had Alexander Lacazette sent off in the last minute of that game for a wild elbow. Both Celtic and Chelsea get underway shortly. We'll keep you up to date on those throughout the evening. Been a mixed week for the English teams in the Champions League. John Giles is still on the line. 53106 if you have any thoughts. John, we'll start with Manchester United. It feels as though the bubble has burst on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, losing 2-0 at Old Trafford against Paris Saint-Germain. When you look at the quality United had on the pitch and the quality that Paris Saint-Germain had on the pitch, was it ever going to be any other way?
Well, I didn't know what to expect, Nathan, because this was the first real test for Manchester United since the new manager came in. But I'd have to say that they failed it badly. I thought Paris Saint-Germain were extremely good, much better than I expected them to be, and definitely deserved to win the game.
What could United have done differently?
Not an awful lot. I think they probably played the best team that they had available to them, and they just weren't good enough.
Mm. So it's not really... does it change the way you look at Solskjaer as a manager?
We might have spoken last week, and maybe you must have asked me, would you make a manager now? And I said, no, I still have reservations. I think he's done everything that's been asked of him so far. Up to the Champions League match the other day, of course. But I would rather wait and see a little bit longer whether to give him the job permanently or not. And that's still my view, Nathan. I'd still wait a little bit longer because that was the first big test the other day. And I must say that they certainly didn't pass that test.
Is it all over the pitch that they need improvement? Because no matter who it is, whether it's Solskjaer or whether it's Mauricio Pochettino, it feels as though a lot of money is going to be spent at Manchester United in the summer. From what you saw on Tuesday night against real quality opposition, what's the main area they're going to need to focus on?
Well, they haven't defended very well. I mean, they played some poor teams, but I think when they were called on to defend the other night, they didn't play well. And you'd have to say, up front, against a good team, a very, very good team, Irish Paris Saint-Germain, they didn't really do it well, didn't play very well up front either. Midfield, they probably need something. Pogba's not going to play in midfield, Nathan, and you could see the other night, I was surprised that the United manager, where he said he was unlucky to be sent off, he wasn't unlucky to be sent off. He has a habit, actually, Pogba, when he's playing, Nathan, that if somebody, they call it protecting the ball. But he's protecting the ball when somebody's about 2 or 3 yards away, as Sabaleta was the other night. And if he continues to do that, he wouldn't intend to, but I think he'll injure somebody badly with what he's doing. He injured Dele Alli, didn't he?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. Where,
something very similar.
Redknapp on the telly said he was protecting the ball. Well, you protect the ball when the ball's like 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 inches away from you, not 3 feet.
Mm.
And he has a habit of doing that when he's playing. He's a big, strong fella. And when he's near the ball and there's somebody going to tackle him, he's shrugging, not shrugging him off, hitting him off. And he definitely deserved to be sent off tonight. And it's something that Solskjaer has to do to stop him, get him out of that particular habit, because he'll injure somebody or he'll continue to be sent off.
Paris Saint-Germain, as you say, you were impressed with. Kylian Mbappe seemed to run the show, particularly in the second half, and they were without both Edison Cavani and Neymar, both to come back over the coming months. Do you look at Paris Saint-Germain, from what you've seen, as genuine contenders to win the Champions League?
Well, we'll have to see, you know, against another team. But looking at them the other night, Nathan, I thought they were very impressive. And from what I've seen so far, which is not that much, they'd definitely be contenders for it.
So if we're talking about Manchester United manager, Maurizio Pochettino's had a very good week then, considering they're missing both Dele Alli and Harry Kane to pull off a performance like they did against Borussia Dortmund last night. A 3-0 win. They very much have one foot in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. They've managed to maintain a run for the title. They're still in contention there. All right, they've gone out of the cups over the last few weeks. How good a managerial job was that last night from Pochettino?
Well, I think overall the season it's been a great managerial job with the resources that he has, Nathan. You know, they're very thin on the ground, and losing two outstanding players, two of their outstanding players, and to continue to compete and win matches is a really, really outstanding job. Now, if it might catch up with them because, you know, it's a long season, they're still in the Champions League, they're running for the league, they're still in the FA Cup. You know, you need a big squad. He hasn't got a big squad, and he's lost two of his best players. So I think what he's done has been outstanding. Nothing short of that.
What was it last night that, because Borussia Dortmund are top of the Bundesliga, they've been flying this season, they were talked up, they were many people's favourites for this tie, to come away with a 3-0 win. Where was it that he was able to get at Dortmund?
Well, funny enough, they got at him through the left-back. Vertonghen was playing as the wing-back, Nathan. It's not something I would necessarily agree with, because I thought they were exposed a little bit down that side. But on the night, he became a match winner. I mean, the ball he made for the first goal was brilliant, and he scored one himself. So it's not often you get a fullback or a wing-back doing what he did. But overall, I thought in the first half, Borussia Dortmund shaded it. But in the second half, then the Spurs really came onto their own. Son again, doing his stuff. He's been... He could be in the running for Football of the Year, Nathan.
Yeah, you think he's been that good?
Oh, well, you think of the players that's out, Dele Alli and Kane. If somebody said to me a few weeks ago, Dele Alli and Kane would be out for whatever it is, 4 or 5 weeks, I'd say they've no chance of doing anything. In fact, I think they've won nearly all the matches since they've been out, mainly due to him. You know, he's scoring goals, but he's scoring important goals. You know, some lads score a lot of goals, and you think it might be the fifth goal in a 5-0 win. But this fella's doing it when it really matters. And he's been absolutely outstanding for them.
And he's had spells in previous seasons where he's had a couple of months here and there where he's looked exceptional. But every time he's played for Tottenham this season, it feels as though he has the potential to be yet another match winner alongside Kane, Ali, Eriksen. Have you noticed a change in his game? Is it just confidence? Is there something about him, a positional shift that's bringing the best out of him?
Well, there's a lot of changes in him, Nathan. I thought he was just an okay player. You know, he'd come on and as a sub now and again. He's come on brilliantly. He's a much better player than he was last season, and particularly the week before. This lad has got the confidence now. He has the ability. He's very, very quick. I think it's mostly confidence with him. He's probably a bit overawed with Kane and the other players that you mentioned in the Tottenham side. Now I think he sees himself as an equal, and he is an equal, but he sees himself as an equal, which is the most important thing. So the confidence is there. And he's first class, you know. When they get Dele Alli back and Kane back, it'll be a great trio up front, a bit like Liverpool actually. But he's a good lad. He works hard. He works for the team. No messing about with him, and he deserves whatever success he's getting, Nathan. He's a really good lad.
I know you don't like making predictions, particularly when you haven't seen all the teams in action, and we got to see Real Madrid last night, but next week we'll get to see Barcelona, Liverpool, Manchester City. But from what you saw of Spurs last night and what you know that Pochettino could do and the way he puts a team together, like, have they got a chance in the Champions League? Have they got that level of ability if Kane and Ali come back?
I think at their best, Nathan, as you say, it's early days. I haven't seen all the teams yet in these particular rounds. I think if he does it, he should be manager of the world if he goes on to win this particular trophy. With the resources that he has, Nathan, I think he's done a great job. Two of his best players, recognised best players, have been out for a while now, and they've still won matches. That's real really, really top-class management. And that's what Pochettino has done.
John, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan.
John Giles there, as always. 7:30 every Thursday here on Off The Ball. If you missed it, it will be up on offtheball.com very shortly. Now, just to let you know that on the 21st of February, that is this day next week, we are continuing our build-up to the Cheltenham Gold Cup with the latest Bulmers Road to Gold event. We're going to be in 22 Nightclub here in Dublin with comedian Jarlath Regan, jockey Brian Cooper, Kate Harrington, Vogue Williams, Ollie Bell, John Duggan and many more names who will be announcing over the coming days. It is an exclusive off-air event, so the only way to enjoy it is to be there on the night. Get onto offtheball.com/events right now to get your tickets. And remember, it is over 18s only. Up next, who is going to challenge Limerick this season? We are going to talk hurling and get the thoughts of Dahi Regan right after this break.
Football on Off The Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.